231-420-8320. Do it today.
Welcome back into the show. Second half hour on this Friday, January 26, 2024 edition, Your Defending Fathers with Trekker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Continuing the conversation with Pastor Chatfield on the accomplishments of our past presidents. You left off, I believe, leaving Jefferson, going right into Madison.
Oh, and I don't even know what we can say exactly about Madison. He's known as the father of the Constitution. He was a great political scientist, understood. It's from his notes that we find out what happened at the Constitutional Convention. That's good.
Yeah.
But accomplishments? Well, he led us into the War of 1812.
Right, yes.
You want to call that good, I suppose.
Well, now, I have a question for, as a Spartan. Michigan State University has colleges within the university. I was in Lyman Briggs College. That was the pre-med, pre-dent, you know, the type of science-based calculus and mathematics and chemistry and physics. That was Lyman Briggs College within Michigan State. And I always found it interesting that James Madison College within Michigan State was considered the pre-law folks. So was Madison a really active attorney in his private life before becoming part of our, you know, Constitution and becoming part of the presidency? Was he well known for his skills as a lawyer?
You'll have to forgive me. Whether or not he ever actually practiced law, I do not remember.
Okay.
But he was very well studied.
Okay.
That we know. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, because that was one of the things that I remember you talking about in previous. I mean, we've talked about all of this over the 9 years we've been doing the show together, but you've talked about that as far as the notes as to what actually happened at the convention and in detail documenting it so that everybody could understand exactly how it went down at the convention.
Of course. Let me just skip back. Jefferson also. Was during his administration, we purchased Louisiana Territory from the French.
Yes.
We talked about that a few weeks back. That's a big deal. I mean, the country is basically doubled.
I was going to say, it doubled our landmass, I think.
Yes. It was a big deal, the Louisiana purchase. And so
sure. We'll
call that an accomplishment. John Quincy Adams, what did he do? Well, he was very smart, but he was not much of a politician. So be it. He was not. He was considered aloof, cold. Maybe whether that's fair or not, the country was moving and the parties were splitting up. By the time he was elected president, John Quincy Adams, in 1824, the Federalist Party had died. And he called himself a national Republican. And so he kind of can't beat him, join him type of thing.
Sure.
And so what eventually happens now is when Andrew Jackson is elected in 1828, you have the he's generally regarded as the founder of the Democratic Party. And then you have everybody that was against Jackson call themselves a Whig. And so the Whigs were – the only thing they had in common is they didn't like Jackson. And so Jackson was the first people's president, or so he portrayed himself. And his accomplishments, well, he wanted to get more power to the people. I mean, that's – he was against the National Bank, and there was an ongoing struggle against the National Bank. But Andrew Jackson was a believer in union in the United States. And he, when we had the tariff controversy in the early 1830s, he was, no, this might be too, the tariff of abomination, so-called, this might be too high of a tariff, but you have no right, South Carolina, to secede from the union. He was a very pro-union man. Yeah, unlike later Democrats were, they were not so much. Let me scoop. I mean, so I'm going to have to skip some of these presidents. Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Polk. Polk, the 11th president of the United States, a Democrat, first dark horse, but but he was really believed in this idea called manifest destiny. He was an expansionist. It's during his administration, the United States really, really expanded. We fought the Mexican War. We got the Mexican Cession. Texas becomes part of the United States. New Mexico, parts of Colorado, Nevada. He was an expansionist. Okay, just interesting, so you might know that, James K. Polk. Taylor Fillmore Pierce. Now, here, Franklin Pierce is not much of a president and you can call this an accomplishment or not, but it was Pierce who signed the Kansas-Nebraska Act in 1854. Now, this act basically did away with the Missouri Compromise of 1820.
Sure. Yeah.
It said, okay, territories, it's up to you. If you want slaves, you can have them. If you don't want slaves, you don't have to have them. That was Stephen Douglas's baby. That was called the popular sovereignty. Stephen Douglas thought that would solve the problems of slavery in the United States. Let the territories, let everybody decide. It didn't solve it. It exacerbated it. And it was after that act was passed, Abraham Lincoln decided to get back in politics because he could see something coming.
Yeah.
And he could see. A couple years later, he gave the House Divided speech. House Divided against itself cannot stand. This is just going to exacerbate the problem. Obviously, it did. James Buchanan, when the war was beginning, did nothing. When seven states seceded from the Union while he was still president in late 1860 and early 1861, he did nothing. He didn't know what to do. And he was just anxious to get out of the White House and turn it over to somebody else. He was the 15th president. The 16th president, obviously, was Abraham Lincoln. What did he do? He saved the country. He saved the Union. Now, I know we have listeners and friends that say, well, yeah, but he violated the Constitution. Well, as you've heard me say many times, he stretched the Constitution.
No. He flat out violated the Constitution. But you know what? At that point, who cares? Because the War of the North and on and on and on. You know, and I got to say something. Because I've heard you say this before. I got to stop you. Abraham Lincoln, in my opinion, was the president because of God.
Amen.
I believe in my heart 100% that he was put in the place for the time such as this.
Amen. I do too.
Donald Trump, same thing in 16, and I believe going to be the same thing in 24. Because you have got to look at how the country is falling apart today, similarly to the way it was falling apart during the Civil War. We are in a civil war. The only difference, sir, is we're being civil about it. We're not shooting our brothers like they did back then in the Civil War. Not yet. And the point of the matter is, and I'm sick and tired of these people who are going to say, well, he suspended habeas corpus, and he burnt this down, and he arrested the newspaper. He did all. Yes, he did. But you know what? Like you said, he saved the Union.
Right.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And I think he did it.
That's true. I agree with that. That is true. And
so don't make excuses for it. He flat out violated the U.S. Constitution. He did what the man had to do because he believes he was being told what to do by God. He prayed. He was a godly man. We all know the story of Mark Gurley and his, what, great-great-great-grandfather, I think, was his pastor, Gurley.
Right.
There.
Okay. Right.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you and your pastor in your conversations, in your prayer, and dropping to your knees and saying, God, tell me what to do. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. So let's move on.
Okay. You don't like it when I say stretched or whatever. Okay.
No, I want to tell it like it is, brother. Tell it like it is.
Well, I'm using the word stretched, but I will move on. Now, Andrew Johnson inherited, after the assassination, he inherited some issues that he couldn't handle. What did he accomplish?
And he was a Democrat, right?
Yes, he was. He was a constitutional Democrat. I mean, he was the only senator in the South that when the South seceded, in his own state seceded, he didn't. He stayed as a senator in the United States Senate. He's the only one that did that. And Lincoln thought that he might help bring the South back into the Union softly. He didn't anticipate getting killed and then Johnson having to endure the radical
implement
Republican
it.
Fire. Yeah, it was
sure.
impossible
right.
for him. But he made it. He survived an impeachment trial by one vote. He did that. Ulysses S. Grant. Yeah, there was, yes, a lot of scandals during Grant's day. But the more I look at Grant, the more I kind of appreciate, you know, he had a steady hand. He did do what he had to do to try to secure the rights of the freed men in the South, the black people that were slaves. He did what he had to do again. And then and it was during his during the election, next election for the 19th president of the United States, Rutherford B. Hayes, is that Reconstruction ended. Long story there, but he ended Reconstruction. Now, unfortunately, after the federal troops left the South beginning in 1877, the Southern whites reinstituted total control, didn't completely enslave the freedmen, but certainly didn't grant them the civil rights that the Constitution secured for them. That would you would have to wait 90 years for that. I mean, there was systemic racism and systemic discrimination against black people in the South for 90 years mm-hmm. until the 1960s. There's no sense denying that. Now,
right.
Was it better? Yes, they weren't slaves. They could move north. They could move, but they didn't have much. They had very little. But and so all the presidents, mostly Republican, actually, between after Johnson, they were all Republican until FDR, with the exception of Grover Cleveland. And let me just talk about Grover Cleveland just briefly. He was a Democrat. And he was he has a good letter where he vetoed a bill to give aid to some people because of a drought. But it was under his administration that the Interstate Commerce Act was signed, which was the first federal legislation to regulate the freight rate of railroads. It was the first really intrusion of the federal government into business. And I understand it because once you got a monopoly – and you were a train company, you could charge whatever if anybody wanted to get their beef or whatever to the markets. There's only one train going. So he started to regulate that, which is the beginning of a lot of federal regulations, which will bring us to FDR, and I'll come back on the other side.
Sounds perfect. Great timing, sir. You're finally getting this down, I think.
Bah!
No. Final segment of the discussion with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Presqu'ile Electric and Gas Co-op has powered Northeast Michigan for more than 85 years. Now we're connecting it to the rest of the world through our new fiber network. Get ready for the PIE&G Connect broadband difference. The fastest speeds in Northeast Michigan, unlimited access, and exceptional reliability. Packages start at $54.95 per month with autopay. There's internet, and then there's PIE&G Connect. Sign up today at PIEGConnect.com.
Next time you need tires for your car, don't compromise. Michelin Passenger Tires strive to deliver outstanding safety, long tread life, and excellent fuel efficiency. Plus, they're famous for delivering a quiet, comfortable ride and precision handling to help ensure optimum safety for you and your passengers. Outfit your car with tires that deliver everything. Ask about Michelin Tires. Royal Tire and Petoskey has the right set of Michelin tires for whatever you drive. Stop in and see us today. Specific performance may vary by tire model.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tellini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Anthony works in the grocery store, saving his pennies for Sunday. Mama Leone left a note on the door. She said, "Sonny, move out to the country."
Okay, hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Yeah, I was on the phone with an upcoming interview. I apologize for that delay. So let's wrap this up, final segment of this discussion today.
Okay, first part of the 20th century, three progressive presidents, Roosevelt, Taft, Wilson, 26, 27, 28, progressive. Well, it's progress. Well, it's more government. More government in the form of constitutional amendments. More government as far as moving closer to democracy, more government, we just come to regulations, more international involvement, especially Wilson. I mean, that's the progressives. Now, after those presidents, when the Republicans under Harding, Coolidge, Hoover, they came back, returned to normalcy, which I would call that. But as you know, in 1929, when the stock market crashed,
yep,
and there was a depression, and FDR was elected in 1932. That is the biggest turn to the left, more government. 1935, the Social Security Act, you know, having Social Security. Is there anybody that's listening to us now? Isn't Social Security is like, I work for it, I earned it, I'm going to collect it, right?
Yep.
That's just the way everybody views it. It is. It's a nationally run pension program, pension.
A couple of years, 95% of the federal budget is what they're predicting for Medicare, Social Security. And how are we going to continue to sustain it? That's going to be the question.
It can't be sustained like that. I mean, unless it move the retirement age to 89 or something. So, it's more government.
Right.
And it really never when we turn to more government, it almost never stops. Now, it's slowed down a little bit, I'll grant you, with Eisenhower. But then when Kennedy and especially LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Society.
Great expansion of government. Again, more government, more government, more government.
Yeah.
Welfare state. Again, that is the way it is. I mean, it didn't slow down with Nixon, or it might have slowed down a little, but it wasn't really pulled back.
Well, have you heard the latest one that they're starting to talk about in Washington?
Tell me.
Universal income distribution. $1,000 per month per person, adult living in the United States. And the reason they're going to have to do it is because of the AI revolution that's coming. 300 million jobs are going to be lost, and they say that it is going to be America 2.0 that's coming.
How much did you just say? How much money?
$280 billion is being funded next Thursday, February 1st, to five AI companies that have been set up to prepare the United States to compete with Taiwan. Why? because they predict that under Joe Biden's failed presidency, President Xi is getting ready to take over Taiwan, probably May through August of this summer. Who makes 90% of our chips, especially the super chips? Taiwan. If they shut down the Taiwan Straits, China just crosses the straits, takes over Taiwan. Biden will not be prepared to deal with it. They shut down our chip shipments to this country. They could literally collapse our stock market like they did in 1929. And they're funding this. It's called the Omega Project. And guess who's already invested billions of dollars into it? Elon Musk, Bill Gates of Microsoft, Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, and Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. 300 million American jobs are going to be lost because we no longer will have people doing anything. They're eliminating truck drivers. I've been studying this hard for months. They will have a truck that is run by AI computers, satellite communications. No driver. The truck will be told where to go. Instead of having swing doors, you know, on the trailers, Mr. Pastor Chatfield, you know, us truck drivers, we get out there and swing those doors open and we back up and bump the docks.
Sure.
Not going to have those doors anymore. They're going to be roll-up doors like you have in your garage. The computer will roll the door up on the trailer. It will bump the dock. The AI robotic robots and actually robotic high-lows will load the product from the warehouse into the truck. The truck will pull forward. The overhead door will roll down. It will drive itself without any stops, without any fueling, directly to the receiver. The receiver will communicate with the truck within 10 miles of getting there, tell them what dock to go into. Truck drivers in America will be non-existent. There will be no more truck drivers. There'll be no more people working in McDonald's. There'll be no more people working at the banks. This is going to be universal income distribution to put the entire country basically on welfare. And it's so scary. I've had problems sleeping at night. I'm reading, I'm studying, and it's like, wow, everything you just said was a precursor to this under FDR when he started Social Security.
Well, I've never... We'll see.
You haven't heard any of this. I know it's blindsiding you, but I'm just so chomping at the bit because Thursday, February 1st, next week, is when they release the $280 million to these companies. And they get funded to start making those chips here in the United States because they're fearing that China is going to take over Taiwan this year. And God help us, it's coming. But speaking of... That's why we need to go to church on Sunday.
Amen. Exactly right.
What are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to preach about heaven on Sunday, being with the Lord, but...
Got to do it.
But we live in this earth. Do right, stand for right. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Amen.
Bottom of the hour, or no, top of the third hour. Man, that went quick. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Find everything you need to ride at Northern Leathers and Accessories, where comfort and style meet no matter the season. Find parts, equipment, and other products for motorcycles, snowmobiles, and ATVs, including products from Drag Specialties, Parts Unlimited, Moose Utilities, Lucas, and Champion Power. Plus apparel for men, women, and children, including big and tall sizes. Quality items at prices you can afford. Stop in today to browse our selection located on US 131 in Elba. We are more than just leathers.
Little Travers Disposal in Harbor Springs supports this radio station, and we would like you to support them. Little Travers Disposal is locally owned with hardworking guys that provide professional trash disposal for your home or business. You're already spending the money. Why not support a Northern Michigan-owned company who supports us? So call them today at 231-487-0780. Again, 231-487-0780. We'll be right back.
My name is Todd Smallenberg. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. I took an oath to the Constitution and the American people my entire adult life. That oath has no expiration date. I will represent